I mean, yeah, but when it's running, it's not making any noise.
Besides, how can we make coffee if we don't have Ken here?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Happy Ash Wednesday, party night.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get started. I'm really glad to see all of you. Welcome to Lent. Thank you for choosing to be here on a cold, rainy night. I'm actually surprised that we have as many people as we do because it's not your typical, ooh, let's go out and talk about ashes. Well, anyway, I am very glad you're here. I find Ash Wednesday to be a very meaningful time. And I wanted to say that some things tonight will resonate with you, some things won't, that's okay. Our Lenten theme, and Lent, of course, begins tonight, is that Lent is a return to delight, a movement from dark to light. And in addition, Lent is an invitation to the immense love of God. And it's also about recognizing all the life-draining ways that we seek substitutes for God's love, for God's kingdom. And these are the things that keep us from delighting in God's love and his grace and his shalom. And Lent is about turning towards God's love the same way plants and animals and humans respond to the growing light of spring, delighting in newness, sensing new life, hope, and possibilities. And Lent is also a very paradoxical time. Lenten themes, when you try to describe what Lent is, Lenten themes could be the idea of bright sadness, the idea of luminous darkness, the idea of letting go and taking up. So you can see the paradox that's already built into Lent. And tonight is the perfect paradox. We have ashes, we have rain, we have fire, we have water. And as difficult it is to get people to come out to this, in my heart I was going, oh, it's the perfect night for Lent. This day, the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, I have heard referred to, and it's my new favorite way of describing Ash Wednesday, the most honest of days. It's a day when we choose to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the day when we are reminded of something that our culture denies and really doesn't even want us to look at, something that we rarely talk about, but that our days are limited and we have made a mess of things. The hard truth of Lent is that it's actually a blessing because it deconstructs our lies and it tells us the truth. And Lent helps us to live in all that is real, all that is happening, all that has happened to us. So tonight, through music and art, but most especially through the comforting presence of each other in this room, we're going to listen for God's voice calling us to look inward and outward at our lives, at ourselves, and at the world we find ourselves in. And I want to say very strongly that tonight is not about shame or guilt. If you hear the word sin, please know that I only mean it in the sense of missing the mark. If you hear the word repent, I only mean by it to convey the idea of turning again toward God, to get kind of back in the way, realign ourselves. And although this night you're going to hear my understanding of what Lent is about, I want you to know that my understanding of Lent has changed a lot over the years, and I believe it will continue to change. So I'm not imposing any meaning on you, because you're here tonight. While you're here, I encourage you to explore the significance and the meaning of Ash Wednesday and Lent for yourselves. So the first thing we're going to do is watch a short little film. And following the film, there'll be a time of silence. And there'll be some text on the screen for you to wrestle with. In this film, we're invited to acknowledge that we often hide ourselves from God and from each other. And then again, after the film, we'll just sit in silence for a little bit, and you'll see the words on the screen to think about.
Mm-hmm. show you my heart. You whisper through the dark and dim. Go safely to the knowing. I'll show you my heart. You whisper us through the dark and dim. Go safely.
So tonight, we're actually going to take that journey from darkness to light, trusting that God is here, holding us tonight. Each one of us carries grief, sorrow. Some have been expressed, some has been stifled or numbed. We've all been touched by pain and suffering at some time. Job loss, a broken relationship, health issues, death of a loved one. And each one of us have likely inflicted pain and suffering on others, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not. In addition, the world is a mess. Environmental destruction, a polarized country, wars and violence all over the world, violent hostility between religions and even among people who share the same faith. So as you look at this image, ask yourself, what grief or what sorrow are you carrying tonight? the poetic word or the churchy word for the for grief and sorrow is lament. Lament is a powerful and needed expression of grief and sorrow and even for regret. But it's one we often avoid because we don't understand how it works, why we should do it, or even how we should do it. The next few sentences or paragraphs are coming from an essay written by an artist, Christine Walters Paintner, and I'm going to paraphrase her. And in her essay, she's actually wrestling with some thoughts of Walter Brueggemann, the famous theologian. And in her essay, she writes, "People only dare to envision a new reality when they've been able to grieve, to scream out, to loose the cry that has been stuck in their throats for so long. That cry, the expression of grief, is the most visceral announcement that things are not right. And only then can we begin to nurture and nourish and evoke a new vision. We so desperately need a new way of seeing the world." Lament opens us up to a new vision of how God is present to our suffering. In lament, we call on the God who weeps with us, whose groans are our own, and we express our hope in God's tender care. Lament is a form of resistance. It begins by challenging the way things are. Lament tells the truth. Lament declares that something is not right in this world. This pain, this suffering should not be. Lament helps us to name the lies we have been living in and participating in. Lament connects us with those who are suffering and schools us in compassion. And only when we have become familiar with the landscape of our own pain can we then enter into the suffering of another. Lament moves us beyond our own narrow perspectives. In lament, we help give voice to the oppressed, to hidden suffering, the suffering and silence that happens because pain takes all language away. Lament is personal, but lament is also the work of the community. Together we say that the pain is being heard, that it is valid, and we are saying that there is suffering in this world that is worth weeping over. And finally, in lament, we invite God's shalom, God's reconciling, healing, and soul-transforming power. So in these next few minutes, I'd like you to think about how does the practice of lament resonate with you, and how might you incorporate lament into your relationship with God?
Thank you.
The desert is an often used image for Lent, in part because we so often hear about Lent being a time when we give up everything fun and frivolous and instead suffer for 40 days, which is neither accurate nor a helpful way to think about Lent. Actually, the image of the desert recalls the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert, and his sojourn in the desert recalls the 40 years of wandering that the Hebrews spent in the desert. Scripture tells us that the desert is a place of testing, but that God also cares for those in the desert. Some of us have been in a spiritual desert, a personal desert, a relational desert, a desert of so many different kinds. And some of us have been there more than once. We feel dried up, ill-used, abandoned. But the desert experience can be a blessing as we let go of more and more of what keeps us away from God or prevents us from seeing God at work in our lives, or as we deal with our doubts about who God is, if we tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves, if we get angry with God or lament to God about God, we find God there with us in the desert. In the wilderness of Lent, we are invited to surrender to the leading of the Spirit. We rarely enter the desert willingly, but Lent is intended to teach us to walk toward an always hidden future, a future known to God, but unknown to us. When we remember who we are and whose we are, we can walk toward this unknown future expectantly, acknowledging our vulnerability and our need for God, knowing that the God who summons us is the God who walks with us. So we'll just spend a few moments thinking about how this image speaks to you about Lent, or the desert as a metaphor for Lent. These two images, to me, speak a lot about this night, Ash Wednesday. The one on the left, make sure that's right, yeah, the one on the left reminds me of a well-loved lyric from a Leonard Cohen song. Ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. But that image might speak to you in a different way. The other one, the one on the right, reminds me that Ash Wednesday, every year, is that on the cusp between winter and spring, that transitional time, a liminal time. And transition brings change. We see in the world around us that the creeks and the streams they're soon going to fill with water as the snow melts. Days are going to get longer and warmer. Bare branches will begin to bud with new growth. Dry, papery bulbs that have lain dormant in the soil are begin to pop up with vibrant green stems and soft leaves that are waiting to uncurl. Birds will start singing in the trees as they build nests. Animals come out of hibernation. Creation is showing us, illustrating for us, enacting for us that newness happens over and over and over again. That resurrection is always on the horizon, and that newness, restoration, metamorphosis, and recreation are actually built into this world. And so we'll spend a few minutes just thinking about how these images will speak to us of what might be possible this Lenten season. And now we come to a part of this evening where we do something that we most likely would never do unless there was a day set aside for it. We focus on our mortality, that our days on earth will come to an end. The truth that we are prone to wander away from God, the truth that we need a Savior. God made us, created us from dust, and that we will one day return to dust. There is a close connection between creation and redemption, in that God created us, loves us, and is remaking us in the image of our Son, of His Son. The last part of the evening is the ashes. What does it mean to have the ashes placed on your forehead in the shape of a cross? Well, for centuries, churches all over the world have waved palm branches on Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week, and then burned those palm branches, creating ashes from them and using them on this night. The ashes mean that we recognize that we miss the mark, that we turn away from God. The ashes mean that we don't always see God at work in our lives and in the world. The ashes signify that we sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly participate in unjust systems in this world. The ashes signify that we recognize that we failed to love our neighbor, failed to love our God as we should. And the ashes remind us that we are in Christ, dying and rising as Jesus did. The ashes also mean that we feel our humanity, our very humanness, that we recognize that we are creatures created from our Creator's breath and His love, shaped from the very materials of this earth. The ashes symbolize that we recognize our finitude. We're dependent on God, walking in the world with dirty faces, not hiding or faking anything. And the ashes also boldly proclaim that we belong to God. We are claimed by God, loved by Him. The cross on our skin is our yes to God's love for us. He wants us to walk in this world, being able to say no that to those things that would slow our steps, and saying yes to those things that would fill our hearts and our lives with love for God and others. He wants us to have the kind of Lent that prepares our hearts for a Savior who rises from the ashes, who rises from injustice brought to God Himself, and teaches us all how to live a life of justice and shalom. So, how many have been to an Ash Wednesday service before? Okay, and some not. In a few minutes, you'll be invited to come up and have the ashes on your forehead and the cross. If you don't want the ashes, that's totally fine. You don't have to. And you're giving your own meaning to what this night means for you. Not any meaning that anybody has imposed on you, nothing else. Just what this means for you to come up here. I'll show you what I'm going to do. As you walk up, I'll dip my finger in here, and I'll say to you, these are the words that Christians have heard for centuries. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. I recommend when you come up and you get the ashes that you close your eyes, because invariably they're going to fall in somebody's face. After you have the ashes, if you decide, then go ahead and sit down to close out the service. Tom has a song he wants to sing for us, and then we'll close in prayer, and then we're done. So if you're ready to have the ashes, come on up. You're going to lift those bangs up for me, girl.
Could it really be this easy? That you love me like you say you do. I've got years and years of striving. When there's nothing left to prove, could it really be that simple? Your kindness changes everything. It's like your grace is on a mission to take down my religion. You're all I really need. Hallelujah. All this time, how you love us. Oh, how you love us. Hallelujah. It blows my mind how you love us. Oh, how you love us. How you love us. Could it be I'm finally seeing that you're not who I thought you'd be? You are loving and you're giving, and your love for who I am is why you died for me.
Thank you all for being here, part of this Ash Wednesday service. I'm just going to close us in prayer, and then Lent starts. Holy, gracious God, out of your love and your wisdom, you breathed into dust the breath of life, creating us to love you, to love our neighbors. Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our minds. Help us to know the joy and the delight of living and placing our trust in you. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here.